2023. Richard Crawley with...
Could you start it up? You can keep it running.
Just to, keep this running.
Just say it again. Now that that's on.
March 21st, 2023. Richard Crawley recording on a laptop.
Aaron Reisberg also interviewing. This is at the Cincinnati Villa with... St. Dominic Villa with Sister Diane Kennedy.
Right.
I leave it to you what you'd like to share about your time at Dominican, things that you discussed yesterday.
Okay.
I would like to...
I have only positive memories of Rosary College and Dominican University. I was a student there in the 50s who came up west on Dominican Street from St. Giles, where the Dominicans taught, to Trinity High School, to Rosary College. And I'm recording. Thank you. Rosary in the 50s had a wonderful reputation as being an excellent school. Now, many of my classmates who went to Trinity didn't want to continue four blocks west to Rosary, but it wasn't because Rosary wasn't really an excellent reputation as a college. But it was common. My parents couldn't afford to send me away, and I was grateful to get a scholarship to Rosary College. A lot of my classmates would go 2 years away to either St. Mary's of Notre Dame or Mundelein or Marquette and then come back to Rosary to finish. So our expectation, my experience, excuse me for stammering, the sisters were women who had a remarkable integration of faith and learning and were marvelous human beings. And I remember wanting to be like them. We expected to have rigorous training. The sisters cared about us. They knew us, and they were interested in how we were doing and were willing to make demands on us and to push us. So one of the innovations when I was a sophomore at Rosary was they started this humanities program. And you had to have a certain average to get into the humanities program. But you had all the best professors in their fields teaching in the humanities program. So you'd have a unit on history that Sister Albertus Magnus taught. You'd have a unit on Chaucer, which Sister Mary Aquinas taught. You'd have a history on Shakespeare that Sister Julie taught. Anyway, it was a marvelous but very demanding program in the sophomore year if you were in the humanities track. And I've always been grateful for the richness of that, for the depth and breadth of our learning in those various disciplines with the best professors at Dominican. And I have a very clear memory of my senior year being taught by Sister Vincent Ferrer, who was a giant in the earth in political science. And she was, you find a picture in the 20s or 30s of the Catholic Society for International Peace, I think it was called. And there's one, it's all priests and collars, and there's one white habit in the middle, and that's Sister Vincent Fair. Was really, and when she taught, when I was in her class in the 50s, it was the time of Joseph McCarthy, not one of our best moments, but her pride was that She was on his blacklist. She was very proud of that. Anyway, so the breadth and depth of the education we received has always stayed with me, for which I am very, very grateful. And the sense of high standards, but loving professors who knew us and cared about us and never hesitated to correct us also. And then, so when I graduated in 55, I had made my decision to enter the following September, which I did, but I would have to say, thanks to Sister Thomasine, who took me by the hair of the head. She made sure I got where I was supposed to be going. And I don't know that it would have turned out differently, but I'm very grateful for her care, constant care. And her last word to me the day before I entered was, always do what you're told, but remember, it ain't necessarily so. Now, that was the kind of Dominican wisdom I was accustomed to, and latitude. Anyway, after that, my relationship with Rosary College Dominican University was sustained. In the late 60s, when I was the postulant director at the Mound, and we were going through that process of renewal, and I was working on the rewriting of the Constitution, I got a note one day in which the prioress was asking me to serve on the newly formed Board of Trustees at Rosary College. I thought, I think there's some mistake here. Must be for Sister Amata, who was the archivist at the Mount. Very learned woman. Excuse me. So I went to the secretary of the prioress and I said, I got this note inviting me to be on the Board of Trustees at Rosary College, but I think it was probably meant for Sister Amata. Well, she got back to me, she said, no, it wasn't. They meant it for Sister Alana, which was my name then. I said, oh. So anyway, I was in over my head on this Board of Trustees. And this one day, though, we were sitting at this tea table, you know, in the form of a tea, and Sister Candida, who was a powerhouse in herself, and Dan Herr, who was the chair of the board, and people were over here, and we were all down here, and Sister Nona and Sister Maria Amanda, and the sisters who were on the board, and I was this old punk. And I remember sitting there, dozing, it was about 2 o'clock, we'd had lunch, and we had bichi schwa for lunch. And I learned it's cold soup. I didn't know that. Anyway, I'm fighting, dozing down here. And Paul Reinert, the president of St. Louis University, is across from me. And St. Louis University was the first university to create a lay board with the Jesuits. And Sister Candida and Paul Reinert had been in doctoral work together at University of Chicago. So they were colleagues, and she asked him to come on the board, and he said he would serve for 1 year to help her get the board going. So anyway, I'm sitting there fighting, dozing, and I hear them talking about formation of committees for the board, because the board was brand new. And Sister Candida and Frank O'Brien are talking, they've created a president's council. And the congregation leaders are a little nervous about all of this structure and what's happening and who owns the school. It's saying it poorly. Anyway, they're talking about forming committees on the board, and Frank O'Brien says, well, I think we should form the committees on the president's council first and then see what committees we might need on the Board of Trustees, which, of course, is dead wrong. And I am sitting there fighting sleep. It's the only time I know I was inspired by the Holy Spirit my whole life. And I wake up and I put my hand up and Canada looks at me like, what are you going to say? And I said, shouldn't that be the other way around, that we form the committees of the Board of Trustees first, and then the committees of the President's Council? And Paul Reiner, straight across from me, without looking up, says, I support that. That was the turning point, of course. I know that was the Holy Spirit. There's no reason that I was even thinking about it. Anyway, so that was in the 80s. And then, the reason I was on the board, no, that was the 60s. And I was in the board in the 80s when I was Vicarious General for the congregation. And then I was on the board again in the 90s as an elected position, I think. I don't know why else I was there. But anyway, I was on in the 90s when we hired Donna. And that was a good period to be part of. And that's how she and I became friends, because, you know, I had that history and could be supportive of her courageous leadership. Anyway, so then I was finishing my 13 years as dean down at Aquinas Institute in St. Louis, which was a graduate school of theology, the Dominican school. And Donna called me and asked if I'd be interested in coming to Dominican. And I said, I'd had an offer from ATS, the Association of Theological Schools, for whom I had served on their executive committee for 10 years while I was dean at Aquinas. And they were offering me a position in Pittsburgh. And Donna said, we were going to create the post of associate provost. Would you be interested? And I said, well, I'm going to try and discern all this over Christmas. So anyway, over Christmas, I supposedly discerned wisely, and I decided I should go to ATS because that's the field I had been in for 13 years. And I knew that whole colleagueship of the seminaries and schools of theology. Anyway, and then all of a sudden one day I thought, I'm like 70 years old. Why would, at this point in life, why go out to Pittsburgh where there are none of our sisters? There's no family, there are no friends. And I'd chiefly be working with Protestants who had their families. And there was one priest, Jerry McCarthy, from Arizona, I think. And I thought, I think it's a little late in life to start building something new. And so all of a sudden I thought, oh, I don't know that this is the right thing. So anyway, Jonah Shea was at Rosary at the time. And she called me, it happened the same day. And she said, you know, I trust your decision. And I said, well, I don't. And she said, why do you say that? I said, well, I don't know. I'm having second thoughts for the reason I just gave you. So, of course, I know Joan went right down to Donna Carroll's office. And pretty soon I get a call from Donna Carroll saying, the position of associate provost is still open. Would you ever still be interested? And I said, well, yeah, I would, et cetera, et cetera. So Donna always tells the story that I said no to her. I was one of the few people who ever said no to her. But then I became enlightened. Anyway, short story long. So I came to be associate provost, which had not been a rule at Dominican. And Norm Carroll had been there 30, 40 years, and he was provost, and I'm sure he didn't think he needed an associate provost. Anyway, so the question was, Glenna asked me this question. He said, what was your role as associate provost? I said, I don't know. Anyway, I chaired a lot of committees, but then right away, Donna entrusted me with the potential of the Siena Center. They had been working on it for a year, And the focus was, it was going to be a center for justice and liturgy, or liturgy and justice. And there was a whole file drawer full of resumes for a possible director and all the minutes of the meetings of a whole year. And I said, I can't figure this out. First of all, we don't have a liturgy department. We may have one liturgy course in the theology department. Why do we think we could create a center for liturgy and justice? I said, CTU could do that perfectly, but not. So anyway, we worked on that for a while, and we got it to a center for faith and culture. And then it became Siena Center and so forth. The rest is history. And we hired Brian Fraley, who brought a Rolodex which had everyone he ever met. And, you know, he'd keep going to all these national meetings and became friends with almost everybody at a national meeting. He had an incredible Rolodex. So we could get these big, high-profile speakers because of his chutzpah, as I'd call it. Anyway, so he was the first director and worked hard at it and was good. And then we hired Claire. And then when she moved up further, I can't remember where we moved her, because I was still VP then, and then she became VP. You'd have to ask Claire.
Yeah.
What did she do while I was still vice president? Yeah. Well, she was part of the mission and ministry team.
Yeah.
You know, by that time we had this team, myself and Janet from McGreal, and the campus ministry people, Marianne Minihoff. I don't know. Anyway, that's. And then finally, so I was there 13 years at Dominican, and grateful. It's wonderful. You know, what I loved about it was not only the homecoming, being at Dominican, at Rosary, but also that I had the feeling everything in my life had prepared me to be the VP at Dominican. In the sense that I was a Dominican. I had the work in formation, which made me knowledgeable in history. And I got my doctorate in theology. I had that. I had worked on the Constitution for the congregation in the 70s. You know, we had to write whole new constitutions after Vatican II. And it was like, all that knowledge of Dominican mission, Dominican history, and my own Cincinnati Dominican experience, and our Cincinnati Dominican heritage of education, all came to bear to make me competent to be the VP for mission. And so I was grateful, very grateful for that. It was like a nice culmination of my own Dominican ministry experience. And I'll be forever grateful. I am forever grateful for those years at Dominican with the colleagues, with the students, and so forth. And it was wonderful to be part of Donna Carroll's courageous leadership, because she really, with wisdom, she moved that school the way it needed to be moved, you know, and built on rock, so that, you know, she left a solid legacy to be entrusted to Glenna, who appreciates it, I know. And so, that's my unqualified enthusiasm for, and perhaps uncritical enthusiasm for Rosary College, Dominican University. And It was such energy. Melissa gets the newspaper and passes it on to me, and I get all this stuff on email still, you know. So it keeps me up to date, and it's wonderful to see the marvelous thing. I like to tell this story. The Caritas Veritas Symposium, you know, I am so glad that's still in, what, its 11th, 12th year? I forgot. Yep. Anyway, I had this hunch, I think it was in my first year there, that if somehow we would drill down into the motto Caritas Veritas, that we would come up with some greater articulation of the mission and the tradition, Dominican tradition of Dominican University. So I had a small committee the spring semester. I remember it was Jeff Carlson and Bill George. I can't remember who else. We spent a semester meeting a few weeks talking about this. What are the layers of Caritas Veritas? And we were going to do a white paper, but May came, and you know, no white paper was going to emerge unless I wrote it. And by that time, I'd lost my fervor. And so nothing happened. And so, and they didn't seem to miss it. Bill and Jeff never brought it up again. But in any event, I think it was either the next year or a year after that, I thought, let's go at this again. And so I invited a committee, some deans, faculty, you know, people who I knew were sources of wisdom and creativity. And I sent them a memo and I said, I'd like you to commit yourself to a monthly meeting for which we'd always have an agenda, and we'd meet for 1 hour and to explore this motto and see where we go. Well, we have wonderful meetings. You know, there's nothing like a little discipline to get a meeting going. And they were marvelous. You know, I remember people like, what was the man who was the dean of business school? Oh, he's now at St. Francis. David Perry was on it. Oh, there was a bunch of really fine people and who were very dedicated. Anyway, short story long, that we came to the idea of the symposium, Veritas Symposium. And then it was just faculty presenters at that time. But the question was, if you were at high school, you could declare an assembly for the morning, but you couldn't do that at the college. So the question was, how would we be able to create a symposium and get people there? So Michael Miller was the registrar, and he came to the President's Council this one Friday, and he said, we have a problem. We have one too many Tuesdays in the fall semester. You know how professors have to have exact days. And he said, my solution is that we have declare one Tuesday, no classes, but the university is open. You know, so everybody's there, but so forth. And I thought, oh my God, this is a gift from God. And so that's how that started. And he proposed it for 3 years. And after 3 years, I went to him and I said, Michael, 3 years is up on that open Tuesday. What are we going to do? And he said, don't bring it up. I said, okay. So it's continued, you know. And if there's anything I'm really glad to have been a part of, it's definitely that. Because then the next year it was faculty and staff presenting. And by the third year it was faculty, staff, and students presenting. And it was a marvelous. Who was it? Al Rosenblum was in the business school. He came to me the day after the first one. And he said, I've been here for 8 years. And he said, this was the best day of my 8 years because he said, I got to listen to the disciplines of the other faculty besides my own school. He said, it was wonderful. And it was, you know, so that was another God's gift, I think. especially the Open Tuesday. Anyway, all those things are precious memories to me to have been a part of and to be prepared for by starting with my education at Dominican at Roser College. And I told them yesterday my story about my comps, which I probably should be too proud to tell. It's shameful. Anyway, I don't know why. In Chicago, I'm a Chicago Cub fan. I am not a bit interested in the White Sox. The night before my comps, which were on a Saturday at Rosary, I had a date and went to the White Sox baseball game the night before instead of studying. Okay, so I got up. When I woke up the next morning, I was hysterical that I had been so careless and so self-indulgent. And my mother was driving me to college, and I was just out of my mind thinking, this is awful. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? And anyway, it turned out, you know, I wrote my comps Monday, and I thought, well, it's over. Monday morning, Sister Aquinas called me and said, we know you ran out of time, so we'd like you to finish writing your comps. I wasn't sure whether I was glad or sad. Anyway, well, I finished writing my comps, you know, and I guess I did all right. I have no idea. Anyway, but that's how the sisters were, let me say clearly. You know, there was that kind of valuing and attention to students. Anyhow, that's just an anecdote of appreciation. It served me well, let me put it that way. Yeah, that's about it. But I was glad to work with Donna Carroll. That was a great privilege. And with that cabinet and so forth. And all those relationships that are sustained. Grace Chomska and Leslie Rodriguez were up a few weeks ago. And that was great, yeah. And they were at the party on Saturday. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope that's has some gold amid the dross, you know.
Yeah. Are there other memories or kind of moments that stand out to you that you felt were really formative during your time?
Well, you know, Candle and Rose is a gem within the life of the university. And, of course, when we were students, the juniors wore formals and the seniors wore cap and gown. And it was choreographed beyond all telling. It's a little more casual now, but it's still Candle and Rose. Actually, I was in Candle and Rose all 4 years because, you know, a lot of the juniors would go home at the end of the semester and not be there for Candle and Rose. So if you had a formal and you lived in the neighborhood, you were a junior in Candle and Rose. And so every time I've been there since then, it's very different on one hand, and yet it's the same, you know, as they lift up the meaning of those two words, Caritas Veritas and Candle and Rose, and the passing on of the tradition with the candle and the rose and so forth. So those are very blessed memories for me, you know. It was a great 4 years for me personally. Those sisters were models for us. You know, that integration of faith and learning is what I always have remembered. And their joy, their great joy. But they were tough, too. You know, they were demanding. Even though they let me finish my comps, you know. I mean, that does seem like a little extra. Anyhow, I hope that's enough.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.